Seated. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Loving God, we come to you this day. We come to be filled with your Spirit, to be filled with your presence. And so we stand before you, God, with open arms and open hearts, saying, God, speak to us and fill us. Breathe the breath of your Spirit into our lives. As you did on that day of Pentecost, fill your church and fill your people. That as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So last week, as we talked about the Holy Spirit, I spent a fair amount of time talking about that word in that second chapter where it talks about suddenly. Of how the Spirit moves suddenly and quickly and at times in ways in which we least expect or anticipate will happen. And today, as I mentioned with the kids, there's that word that we find in there twice about what the Spirit did when it came. Where it filled the place and it filled the people with God's Spirit, with God's presence. And Curtis, next week, will be talking a little more about what that moved those people out to do. But when it comes to that notion of filling, it is always, as I've thought about it, that filling happens for a reason. That sometimes we fill things up and think that there's a, okay, we filled it up, we're done. We've provided the purpose that we intended. But usually there's a purpose that it serves beyond that. We fill the bathtub up so we can get in and take a bath. We fill the car up with gas so that it has the gas that it needs to move forward. We fill our stomachs so we're not hungry. It's always a part of a process. There's always a purpose beyond just the simple fact of filling something up and saying, there, I did it. We have purpose behind filling, and God did on that day of Pentecost as well. When he filled that place and filled his people with the Holy Spirit. If the only purpose had been was to pour his Spirit into them, there would have been no reason for them to leave that room. There would have been no reason for them to go out into the streets and proclaim God's message and be empowered by God's Spirit to speak in all of those languages they did so that people could hear and understand what they were saying. If the purpose had been to simply fill them up, they could have kicked back like most of us do on Thanksgiving and put our feet up and said, thanks, that was awesome, and taken a nap. But they didn't. God had a purpose in filling them. Now, when we think about the work and the role of God's Spirit, we need to come in with some kind of expectation in mind. One of the speakers, one of the preachers that we heard at conference, and I'm trusting him on his figures and statistics here, but he was talking about a study that had been done of people that come to worship in the average church. And the number he gave was, I don't know, it was like 85% of people show up to a worship experience not expecting the Spirit to do anything. Not expecting the Spirit to show up, not expecting the Spirit to move, not expecting the Spirit to change anybody's life in that moment. Now, that's an unfortunate statistic to hear. But he went on to say, he said, what's even more sad than the fact that most worshipers come not expecting the Spirit to do anything. He said 97% of pastors show up in their churches not expecting the Spirit to do anything either. That is sad. That is disappointing. And he made the point, he said, these are the people planning and preparing the worship service. They're not even expecting the Spirit to do anything. But rest assured, and I checked with Curtis too, so I can say yes, your pastors expect the Spirit to do something when we're here. Now, we pray for revival, we pray for renewal, and it would be awesome if revival would break out in the way that we hear described at Pentecost, or the one I'd mentioned taking place at Asbury, or other times during that great awakening across our country when the Spirit moved in mighty ways. And we look for that and we long for that. But I also realize that God's Spirit showing up and doing something in this space is something that I think happens most weeks. Because there is seldom a Sunday that goes by when I've preached where later after the service or even a week or two later that I don't have someone come to me saying, you know, when you were preaching on Sunday, you mentioned this. And that was exactly what I needed to hear that day. Now, I'll be honest, if you ever have an occasion where you're coming to tell me that, if I have a deer in the headlights look in my face, often I have no recollection of having said the exact words that someone will quote back to me. And that's what I chalk up to the work of the Spirit. That God's Spirit is moving and God is speaking through me and God is opening your hearts and your ears for you to hear what you need to hear from God that day. And it might only be one or two people on a Sunday, or it might be more. It might be those occasions when we invite people to come forward and place hands on someone and pray for them. That God's Spirit works and moves. This week, I went to see Bob Bailey while I was in Indianapolis. And Bob is recovering well from a pretty extensive surgery on his back to remove a large tumor. And in spite of all of the pain that he was in and is still in to some extent, God's Spirit is working and moving in Bob and Sherry's lives right now. And when they say, we feel and know that the prayers are being lifted and it's making a difference, that's part of your contribution in Bob's healing and recovery. That's part of the support and encouragement that they have through this process that they are going through. Likewise, visiting Rita at the hospital here in town when she had her gallbladder out this week. Many of you were there to visit her. Many of you have prayed for her. And she's had a pretty tough time of it. But the Spirit has worked and moved in this congregation, prompting you to reach out in compassion and care for one another. When we put before this congregation an appeal to say, hey, we've got an opportunity to host some pastors from Sierra Leone. We've got people who have stepped forward and say, I'd like to help. As a congregation, as families, as individuals, as a part of that process, we're stepping out in faith saying, God's doing something and stirring in our midst. And we want to be a part of that. God fills us so that we can move. We can act, we can do, we can be what God is calling us to be. What I forgot to tell you about what Dr. Millard said when he'd mentioned Central from the conference floor. He said, we called and were talking with Bishop Yambasu in Sierra Leone and telling him that all of this had come together. And this bishop in the United Methodist Church in Sierra Leone wept on the phone with joy to know that the kingdom was going to be continuing to grow and be built because of this opportunity for his pastors. God fills us so that we can be ready and available and present when God calls upon us. But why is it that so many church-going people, why is it so many pastors would set foot in their churches on a Sunday morning not expecting the Spirit to move in some way that will make a difference in people's lives? Why is it that so many people can come to a worship service and sing the hymns and pray the prayers and hear the scriptures and yet leave feeling down, frustrated, maybe even angry? Well, part of that, I think, is that how do we approach worship in the first place? What is the attitude that we have with us when we get up and get in the car to come to church on a Sunday morning? What is the attitude that we have when we walk through the doors and make our ways into the sanctuary and take our seats? Are our minds preoccupied? Are we thinking about Monday morning and all the things that we're going to have to do? Are we preoccupied by all of the many things that we have going on in our lives? For some people, it might be that we have such deep hurts that they're filling us and consuming us. We might be angry or resentful about something. We might be just so closed off and so filled with all of this other stuff that when we walk into this place and God's Spirit begins trying to move There's no room. All of those things that we cling on to, all of those things that we hang on to that aren't necessarily helping us are in the way. They interfere. They block the ability of God to breathe that Spirit into us. So sometimes when we come to worship, it may mean consciously checking those things at the door. Of before we even get out of bed on a Sunday morning praying, God, let me leave this stuff at home so I can go and be in your presence. Or maybe as we walk through the door to say, God, help me to just not be dwelling on all of this other stuff so that I can be focused on you. When we talk about all of the brokenness in our world and the many addictions that people struggle with, often I understand it's an emptiness that people feel. That they know that something's missing in their life. And they want to fill that emptiness. They want to fill it with something, or at least dull and numb the pain of it. And so that's why some people turn to drugs or alcohol or pornography or gambling or overeating or whatever it is. Maybe this will work. Maybe if I get more of this, that'll fill it up and I'll feel better. Boy, that was kind of nice. Boy, if I get twice as much of it, then I'll feel twice as good. And we accumulate possessions and we buy and we binge and we obsess about things, trying to fill a void that there's nothing that you and I can do to fill on our own. But God can. We hear of a God who filled people to the point where that room they were gathered in, figuratively anyway, burst at the seams, and the people spilled out of the room to go and share because God had supplied them with so much they couldn't wait to get out there and give some of it away. That God breathed His Spirit into them and they were compelled to go and to share and to speak and to demonstrate God's love to everyone that they encountered. That's what God's Spirit does. It fills people. And in being filled, we are blessed. But we are filled in such a way that we can go and pour ourselves out for others. While Pentecost didn't come until after Jesus' death and resurrection, I think there are passages of Scripture and this idea of God's Spirit and what it will do that we encounter throughout the Gospels. We have the story of John the Baptist, who, when seeing Jesus, says, "I must become less that he might become more." At times when we try to fill our lives by our own ability, we need to step back and say, less of me, God, more of you. Keep it coming. Pour out that Spirit. Fill me up. Jesus encounters the woman at the well in Samaria, and they have this exchange, and he asks her for some water, and then he gives that response that kind of puzzles her, but he says, "If you knew who I was, you'd be asking me to give you water. I'll give you water that will fill you and be ever flowing." And I hear the Spirit. When Jesus talks about giving us a spring of living water that will rise up within us and flow forth and be a blessing to other people, that is what the Spirit does. It fills us. It flows out of us and in turn changes others. One of the other speakers at conference was talking about what is this transformation, what is this change that God is working to bring about in the world. And they had concentric circles. And it said the individual and the church and the community and the world going out from the center. But transformation, a changed, transformed world, is only possible because of changed people. That transformation begins at the individual, personal level. That you and I need to be transformed. And as you and I are transformed, our congregation is transformed. And as our congregation is transformed, the community is transformed. And we, as a transformed congregation, transform the community, transform the world. And we participate in doing that work. We come here to study God's word. We come here to pray together, to worship together, to be encouraged, to be in fellowship. We grow closer together, and I know many of you have participated in those dinners for six, and I've heard some of those have even grown, but you participate in those and get to know one another, and we become a stronger, more united congregation because we know one another. And because we know one another, we care for one another. And when we know the needs and concerns of one another, we can support and encourage one another, as you've done for Rita and the Baileys. And many of you here have experienced that. God transforms us. He fills us with His Spirit that we might be transformed. And a part of that transforming work of changing the church, of changing the community, and changing the world. Last Sunday on Pentecost, we took up our communion offering. And they lifted that up at annual conference, the bishop's miracle offering, to make a difference in global health. To continue to fight malaria and AIDS around this world. Our congregation contributed $944 to that effort. Thank you. Thank you for caring about the lives of people you will never meet. Enough to say that we want to invest in their well-being. The Spirit prompts us, the Spirit guides us, the Spirit fills us. That we can pour out ourselves, that we can give of our resources, of our times, our talents, to share God's love with others. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, understood the work and the movement of the Spirit. He understood that when people make themselves available to God's Spirit, that amazing, life-changing, world-changing things can happen. Wesley once said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not whether they be clergymen or laymen. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth." Wesley recognized that it doesn't take many people open and willing to allow the Spirit to fill them, to make profound differences. And so as we continue in this season of Pentecost, celebrating, but more importantly, welcoming the Holy Spirit into our lives and in our church, may we ask that God's Spirit would fill us, that the gates of hell, the bonds of addiction, the brokenness in our community, whatever ails this world might be made right, because through us and by God's Spirit, the kingdom will be established in and through us. May it be so, and may we be filled to overflowing by God's Spirit. Amen.